Chapter 6 The House by the Sea. After the plane landed in The Hague, Kiva and Lemus went quickly through the airport.
Have a nice stay in Holland, said the Dutch passport officer.
As they walked through the airport to the exit, Lemus looked back. He saw a man with glasses standing reading an English newspaper. He was small and he looked worried. Lemus and Kiva got into a car in the car park. The driver never spoke as she drove them out of The Hague. Lemus had been there during the war, and he guessed that they were travelling towards the coast. After a short time, the car stopped at a small house by the sea, and a friendly woman opened the door and let them in. Lemus saw a man in a raincoat getting out of another car.
Welcome, the woman said. Did you have a good journey?
Yes, replied Kiva. It was a very good flight.
That's good, she replied, and she disappeared.
During Lemus's stay in the house, she brought meals to them, usually bread and cold meat. Then Kiva opened the front door, and the man in the raincoat came in. He was the same height as Lemus, but older. He shook Lemus's hand.
My name is Peters, he said. Did you have a good flight? Yes, replied Kiva quickly. Mr. Lemus and I have a lot to discuss, said Peters to Kiva. You can leave now.
Kiva smiled.
Goodbye and good luck,
he said to Lemus and held out his hand. Lemus nodded, but did not shake his hand. Kiva left the house quietly. Peters went into a room at the back of the house, and Lemus followed him.
Listen, said Lemus, suddenly sounding very nervous. We both know why we're here. I'm a defector, and you're going to pay me for information. You don't all have to pretend that you like me and want to be nice to me.
Kiva told me that you were a proud man, replied Peters, sitting down at a table.
He spoke English very well. Lemus guessed that he was Russian, but he was not sure. He sat down too.
Kiva told you what we are going to pay you, didn't he?
Asked Peters.
He said that you would pay me £15,000 now, replied Lemus, and he said that you would pay me another £5,000 if I talked to you during the next year.
Yes, that's right, replied Peters.
I won't accept the £5,000, and I won't talk to you during the next year, said Lemus. You know that I can't do that. I want to take the £15,000 and get away. If I tell you everything I know, I will have to disappear. The British Secret Service will know what I've done and look for me immediately.
Peters nodded, and then he said,
But you could come somewhere safer with us, couldn't you?
Are you asking me to come behind the Iron Curtain? Asked Lemus.
Peters nodded again.
I don't want to do that, Lemus said very quickly.
Peters nodded, then said,
Shall we start?
During the morning of the first day, Peters asked questions about what Lemus had done during the war. Lemus told him about being in the army and then getting a number of different jobs because he spoke Dutch, German and French. Lemus had learned the languages when he lived in Holland because his father had an engineering factory there. The British Secret Service had trained him
and he had worked with spies in Holland and Norway during the war. After the war, he had gone to Berlin. Peters saw that Lemus was sweating. He saw a man who wanted to betray his country, but was upset and uncomfortable. This was what Lemus wanted him to see. Lemus watched Peters too, and decided that he was good at his job. Peters listened carefully, only asking a few questions. Lemus told Peters about starting to work in Berlin in the 1950s. The British needed to get information from East Germany, but it was hard to find good agents. At last, in 1959, Karl Remek made contact with him, first by leaving photographs and documents in Lemus's car. Then they had met. Remek worked for the Presidium of the East German government. He did not have a very important job, but he gave Lemus enormous amounts of useful information about Presidium meetings. He also gave Lemus the names and jobs of people in the East German Secret Service.
"Did Remek give you all the information you're telling me about?" Peters asked.
"Yes, of course," replied Lemus.
"I see," said Peters. "Please, go on."
Peters filled Lemus's glass with more whiskey, as he had done often during the interrogation, and Lemus continued. Bit by bit, he told Peters all about Remek's work. He gave the names of other agents who Remek had introduced to Lemus, and the dates they had started being agents. He explained what the circus had thought and how much they had paid Remek. Peters was pleased at how good Lemus's memory was, even though he was drinking so much.
"I don't believe you," said Peters after a while. "Remek's job wasn't important enough. He couldn't do all this on his own."
"He did do it," said Lemus, suddenly becoming angry.
"Didn't the circus wonder whether there was another person helping him?" asked Peters.
"No," replied Lemus.
"Oh, that's interesting," said Peters thoughtfully.
Then, after a moment, he said,
"You heard about Remek's woman, didn't you?"
"What about her?" asked Lemus.
"She was murdered a week ago. She was shot as she left the flat in West Berlin."
Lemus was very surprised.
"She was in West Berlin. Why wasn't she safe there?" he thought. "Did Remek tell her the name of another East German agent? And did that agent arrange for someone to kill her so she didn't tell anyone the name?"
That night, Lemus continued to think about the woman's death.
"Why didn't Control tell me about it?" he wondered.
He remembered his question to Control about why they should get rid of Mundt and Control's answer. He had asked, "Why? We've got no one left in Germany to protect. You just said so yourself. Remek was the last one." And Control had replied,
"That isn't quite true, but I don't think I need to tell you about it."
"What did Control know that he didn't tell me?" Lemus thought. "And why didn't he tell me?" That night, he thought about the murdered woman, and then he thought about Liz.